The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back.
Yes, folks. Liberty weeps. We must take America back. Welcome to Republic Broadcasting Network and the National Intelligence Report for Friday, the 14th day of July in the year of 2023. And first, let's make sure that we understand that free speech and the ability to actually put the truth out there for people is rapidly slipping away. And it is a gradual process, and it was designed many years ago, and they are hard at it. If you want to maintain truth, if you want to maintain the freedom of speech, then I highly recommend that you go to republicbroadcastingnetwork.org and that you hit the donate button when you get there, or call in and donate whatever it is that you can afford. Because, folks, this is indeed critical. We must continue with free speech if we are to survive, if we are going to, as the song says, if we are going to take America back. It's going to require entities like Republic Broadcasting. So, that being said, one of the things I was contemplating a couple of days ago about what to do for today's program, and sorry I missed you folks last week. We did a replay. I was up at the Dixie Republic, and we had a fantastic time there, and the Dixie Republic is a sponsor of Republic Broadcasting Network, and therefore they are most deserving of your support as well. So you can go to DixieRepublic.com and check out all of the great merchandise that they have for you there. But my thought for today was, I was thinking about PSYOPs, psychological operations, and how those operations are actually designed and what they are designed to accomplish. And what they are designed to accomplish is to get the people to forget entirely their intellect. Don't analyze anything with objective reasoning. The object of a PSYOP is to get everyone to make all of their decisions based on emotions. And then the wonderful government puts all kind of entities in play to play on your emotions, and that would include your TV set and your phone when you're Googling and going other places. I've noticed now that on Google, if you Google something, that's very seldom what you see. What they show you is what they want you to see, or some form of advertisement. But anyway, I was thinking to myself, what is the number one element that this government, this corrupt, tyrannical, despotic government, what is the number one factor that they have used to enslave the people, steal their money, and in fact, in many ways, kill their children? And that hit me kind of in a song. Believe it or not, I remembered a song from 1969. And Yeah, I'm dating myself here, but I remember this song, and I remember it very well. But it has some great points to it. And so let's hear a verse, if we can. So, yes, folks, war. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Well, that was Edwin Starr in 1969, in the midst of the Vietnam War, giving out a great message that the American public needed to pay attention to. But the thing of it is his what is war good for? Absolutely nothing. It pertains to the people. It doesn't pertain to the government, because governments use war to control you, to control your mind, to steal your money. And I thought of this quite a bit, because I think it was back in March of 2022, a little over a year ago, when I was on a trip to Tupelo, Mississippi. And the one thing, and this was just about the time the whole Ukraine thing was blowing up. And I remember seeing passing, because I don't like to travel the interstates, and I go back roads. I like back road America. And one thing you see an awful lot of when you travel back road America is churches. And I was most alarmed on that trip to see that a great number of churches were flying the Ukrainian flag under the Star Spangled Banana. And I thought, what happened to your Christian flag? Here we go, folks, with the dynamics of a psyop. You get the people emotionally involved. And I'm going to jump into a little bit more into this Ukraine situation as we move along here. But the first thing I want to do is to tell you that you have been duly warned throughout history about war and allowing governments to create their wars through deception or whatever maneuver that they want to keep wars going. Hey, we in America here, we've been at war since, you know, right after 9/11. And we've been at war, in many wars, my entire lifetime. And we've never won one. And so you have to ask yourself, why have we not won a war? And that is because the government doesn't want to win a war. Because when you win a war, it's over. And there's no more money to be made. There's no more money laundering that can be done. And we're really going to get into the money laundering aspect here. And that's what wars are good for. Money laundering, stealing your children, sending them off to die under false pretenses. And yet we consider ourselves patriotic to support our own demise. Folks, that is a perfect psyop. If you can get people to participate in their own destruction, that is the perfect psyop. Well, as I said, let's jump back in history a little bit. And I'm no fan of little Jimmy Madison, because Madison was a Federalist. He was two-faced. I've referred to James Madison as the Bill Clinton of the founding era on multiple occasions. But he got some things right. He actually did. And one of the things he got right is what I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to read it to you fairly slowly, because it's real important that you listen to this and understand it. And I quote James Madison, "Of all the evils to public liberty. War is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops every other. Think about that. War develops every other evil to liberty. Continuing on with James Madison, war is the patent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes. And armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the dominion of the few. And that's exactly what we have in this country. Continuing, in war, too, the discretionary power of the executive or the president is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied. And all of the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. Let me read that to you again because that's the PSYOP version. And all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare, unquote. Continual warfare. We've had that for 20-some years now, or 21 years, going on 22 in this country. And have we more freedom now or more liberty now than when we started this in 2011? Are you better off today than you were in 2001? Well, let's think about, quite a few things about this war deal. And that is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of that Constitution, so beloved by many, states that only Congress can declare war. And when's the last time that happened? Let me see. 1941. Have we had any wars since 1941? Yeah, I believe we have. I believe we've had quite a few. And none of them have been declared, and all of them have been perpetrated on lies. Every last one of them. The government will lie to you, and yet you still believe them. You still believe them because you are locked into a psychological operation. Your mind has been captured, and you can't let your emotions go long enough to listen to your brain. Facts mean nothing. It's how do you feel? Well, I was also thinking about to describe exactly what happens. I wanted to touch on something that is, guys, not as old as little Jimmy Madison, but it's over 100 years old. And so I'm going to read some of this to you, and then I will tell you where it came from. To most Americans of the classes which consider themselves significant, the war brought a sense of the sanctity of the state, which, if they had time to think about it, would have seemed a sudden and surprising alteration in their habits of thought. In times of peace, we usually ignore the state in favor of partisan political controversies or personal struggles for office or the pursuit of party policies. It is the government rather than the state with which the politically minded are concerned. The state is reduced to a shadowy emblem which comes to consciousness only on occasions of patriotic holiday. Government is obviously composed of common and unsanctified men, and is thus a legitimate object of criticism and even contempt. If your own party is in power, things may be assumed to be moving safely enough. But if the opposition is in, then clearly all safety and honor have fled the state. Yet you do not put it yourself in quite that way. What you think is only that they are rascals to be turned out of every political machinery of offices and functions which you take for granted. When we say that Americans are lawless, we usually mean that they are less conscious than other peoples of the august majesty of the institution of the state as it stands behind the objective government of men and laws, which we see. In a republic, the men who hold office are indistinguishable from the masses. Very few of them possess the slightest personal dignity with which they could endow their political role, even if they ever thought of such a thing. And they have no class distinction to give them glamour. In a republic, the government is obeyed grumblingly because it has no bedazzlements or sanctities to gild it. If you are a good old-fashioned Democrat, you rejoice at this fact. You glory in the plainness of a system where every citizen has become a king. If you are more sophisticated, you bemoan the passing of dignity and honor from affairs of state. But in practice, the Democrat does not in the least treat his elected citizen with the respect due to a king, nor does the sophisticated citizen pay tribute to the dignity even when he finds it. The Republican state has almost no trappings to appeal to the common man's emotions. What it has are of military origin, and in an unmilitary era, such as we have passed through since the Civil War, even military trappings have been scarcely seen. In such an era, the sense of the state almost fades out of the consciousness of men. But with the shock of war, however, the state comes into its own again. The government, with absolutely no mandate whatsoever from the people, without consultation of the people, conducts all of the negotiations, the backing and the filling, the menaces and explanations, which slowly bring it into collision with some other government and gently and irresistibly slides the country into war. For the benefit of proud and haughty citizens, it is fortified with a list of the intolerable insults which have been hurled toward us by some other nation. For the benefit of the liberal and the beneficent, it has a convincing set of moral purposes, which our going to war will somehow achieve. For the ambitious and the aggressive classes, it can gently whisper of a bigger role in the destiny of the world. The result is that even in those countries where the business of declaring war is theoretically in the hands of representatives of the people, no legislature has ever been known to decline the request of an executive which has conducted all foreign affairs in utter privacy and irresponsibility, that it order the nation into battle. Good Democrats are wont to feel the crucial difference between a state in which the popular parliament or Congress declares war and the state in which an absolute monarch or ruling class declares war. But, put to the stern pragmatic test, the difference is not striking. In the freest of republics, as well as in the most tyrannical of empires, all foreign policy, the diplomatic negotiations which produce or forestall war, are equally the private property of the executive part of the government and are equally exposed to no check whatever from popular bodies or the people voting as a mass themselves. The moment war is declared, however, the mass of the people, through some spiritual alchemy, become convinced that they have willed and executed the deed themselves. They then, with the exception of a few malcontents, proceed to allow themselves to be regimented, coerced, deranged in all the environments of their lives and turned into a solid manufactory of destruction toward whatever other people may have in the appointed scheme of things, come within the range of the government's disapprobation. Got some music coming up. We'll be back on the other side.
We're going to the end of the line. Nahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Well, welcome back, folks, to the National Intelligence Report here at RBN. And today we're talking about that psychological operation that the governments work on their citizens to bilk them out of their money, to kill their children, and to gain more and more power. All with the full support of the people being destroyed. A perfect psyop, exactly as it was designed to be. But, you know, let's take a little different look at this. Again, and I hate to read to people, especially on a program, but I think this is critical here of what we're talking about. And let's take a look at a member of the United States military, a major general, who had the unique attribute of having won. No, you don't win them. It's not a contest. But this gentleman received 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. Not 1, 2. A true American patriot. And what did he have to say about war? Well, let's take a look. He said, war's a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. A racket is best described, I believe, as something that is not what it seems to the majority of people. Only a small inside group knows what it is about. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few, at the expense of the very many. Out of war, a few people make huge fortunes. Oh, imagine that, really? In the World War, he's talking about World War I, a mere handful garnered the profits of the conflict. At least 21,000 new millionaires and billionaires were made in the United States during World War I. That many admitted their huge blood gains in their income tax returns. How many other war millionaires falsified their income tax returns? No one knows. How many of these war millionaires shouldered a rifle? How many of them dug a trench? How many of them knew what it meant to go hungry in a rat-infested dugout? How many of them spent sleepless, frightened nights ducking shells and shrapnel and machine gun bullets? How many of them parried the bayonet thrust of an enemy? How many of them were wounded or killed in battle? Out of war, nations acquire additional territory if they are victorious. They just take it. This newly acquired territory promptly is exploited by the few, the self-same few who wrung dollars out of blood in the war. But the general public shoulders the bill. And what is this bill? This bill renders a horrible accounting. Newly placed gravestones, mangled bodies, shattered minds, broken hearts and homes, economic instability, depression and all its attendant miseries, back-breaking taxation for generations and generations. For a great many years as a soldier, I had a suspicion that war was a racket. Not until I retired to civil life did I fully realize it. Now that I see the international war clouds gathering again, as they are today, I must face it and speak out. This was in the late 1930s, folks. He saw World War II on the way. Again, they are choosing sides. France and Russia met and agreed to stand side by side. Italy and Austria hurried to make a similar agreement. Poland and Germany cast sheep's eyes at each other, forgetting for the nonce their dispute over the Polish corridor. The assassination of King Alexander of Yugoslavia complicated matters. Yugoslavia and Hungary, long bitter enemies, were almost at each other's throats. Italy was ready to jump in, but France was waiting. So was Czechoslovakia. All of them are looking ahead to war. Not the people. Not those who fight and pay and die. Only those who foment wars and remain safely at home profit from the endeavor. There are 40 million men under arms in the world today, and our statesmen and diplomats have the temerity to say that war is not in the making. Hell's bells are 40 million men being trained to be dancers. Not in Italy, to be sure. Premier Mussolini knows that they are being trained for. He at least is frank enough to speak out. Only the other day, Il Duce, in International Conciliation, the publication of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, said, and I quote, "And above all, fascism, the more it considers and observes the future and the development of humanity, quite apart from political considerations of the moment, believes neither in the possibility for the utility of perpetual peace. War alone brings up to its highest tension all human energy and puts the stamp of nobility upon the peoples who have the courage to meet it." More music back on the other side, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band, declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thanks to the renegades.
And thanks for tuning in to Republic Broadcasting and the National Intelligence Report. And we're talking about the greatest malady known to man, which creates the greatest profit for those, that small minority who control government. And we were reading from Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. And he said in the late 1930s, yes, they are getting ready for another war. Why shouldn't they? It pays great dividends. But what does it profit the people? What does it profit the men who are killed? What does it profit the men who are maimed? What does it profit their mothers and sisters, their wives and their sweethearts? What does it profit their children? What does it profit anyone except the very few to whom war means huge profits? Yes, and what does it profit the nation? Take our own case. Until 1898, we didn't own a bit of territory outside the mainland of North America. At that time, our national debt was a little bit more than $1 billion. Then we became internationally minded. We forgot or shunted aside the advice of the father of our country. We forgot Washington's warning about entangling alliances. We went to war. We acquired outside territory. At the end of the World War period, as a direct result of our fiddling in international affairs, our national debt had jumped to over $25 billion. Therefore, on a purely financial bookkeeping basis, we ran a little behind year for year, and that foreign trade might well have been ours without the wars. It would have been far cheaper, not to say safer, for the average American who pays the bills to stay out of foreign entanglements. But for a very few, this racket, like bootlegging and other underworld rackets, brings very fancy profits. But the cost of the operation is always transferred to the people who do not profit. Who makes these profits? This World War, talking about World War I, rather our brief participation in it, cost the United States some $52 billion. Figure it out. That means $400 to every American man, woman, and child. And we haven't paid that debt yet. We're still paying it. Our children will pay it. And our children's children will be paying the cost of that war. That's just World War I. The normal profits of a business concern in the United States are 6, 8, 10, and sometimes even 12%. But wartime profits, that is another matter. 20, 60, 100, 300, and even 1,800%. The sky's the limit. All that the traffic will bear. Uncle Sam has the money. Let's get it. Of course, it isn't put that crudely in wartime. It is dressed into speeches about patriotism, love of country, and we must all put our shoulder to the wheel. But the profits jump and leap and skyrocket and are safely pocketed away. Let's just take a few examples. Let's take our friends the DuPonts, the powder people. Didn't one of them testify before a Senate committee recently that their powder won the war or something? How did they do in the war? They were a most patriotic corporation. Well, the average earnings of the DuPonts for the period 1910 to 1914 was $6 million a year. Well, that wasn't much, but the DuPonts managed to get along on it somehow. Now let's look at their average yearly profit during the war years, 1914 to 1918. $58 million a year in straight profit. Nearly 10 times that of normal times, and the profits of normal times were pretty darn good. An increase in profits of more than 950%. Take one of our little steel companies that so patriotically shunted aside the making of rails and girders and bridges to manufacture war materials. Well, their 1910 to 1914 yearly earnings averaged about $6 million. Then along came the war. And like loyal citizens, Bethlehem Steel promptly turned to munitions making. Did their profits jump, or did they give Uncle Sam a bargain? Well, their 1914 to 1918 average profit was $49 million a year. Oh, okay, let's take a look at United States Steel. The normal earnings during the five-year period prior to the war were $105 million a year. Not bad. Then along came the war, and up went the profits. The average yearly profit for the period 1914 to 1918 was $240 million. Not bad. There you have some of the steel and powder earnings. Let's look at something else, a little copper perhaps. That always does well in war times. Anaconda, for instance, average yearly earnings during the pre-war years 1910 to 1914 of $10 million. During the war years 1914 to 1918, profits leaped to $34 million a year. Or Utah copper, average of $5 million per year during the 1910 to 1914 period, jumped to average of $21 million yearly profits for the war period. Let's group these five with three smaller companies. The total average profits of the pre-war period 1910 to 1914 were $137,480,000. Then along came the war. The yearly average profits of this group skyrocketed to $408,300,000. A little increase in profits of approximately 200%. Does war pay? It paid for them. but they aren't the only ones. There are still others. And then Smedley Butler went into great detail. But I'm jumping from some of them to the bankers. And let us not forget the bankers who financed this great war. If anyone had the cream of the profits, it was the bankers. Being partnerships rather than incorporated organizations, they do not have to report to their stockholders. And their profits were as secret as they were immense. How the bankers made their millions and their billions, I do not know, because those little secrets never become public, even before a Senate investigatory body. But here's how some of the other patriotic industrialists and speculators chiseled their way into war profits. And he goes into great detail about shoes, leathers, and many others. People, I highly recommend that you read that. So, but now here's something I wanted to get into. And we see almost daily somewhere on the mainstream media, owned and controlled by the international banking cabal, who also controls your government, we hear constantly of this money being sent to the Ukraine. Oh, we're sending $40 billion of this, we're sending this, we're sending that. No, they're not. And there's a history of this, but Americans don't like history. They like social studies. So we don't know that this has been a constant element. Let's go back to Vietnam. At the end of the Vietnam War, Ellsworth Bunker travels to Vietnam with suitcases full of money, allegedly to pay off those people who supported us during the war. But we have no receipts of where that money went. We have no idea, just like we have no idea of the $40 million to the Ukraine, $40 billion to the Ukraine, this, that, the other to the Ukraine. We don't know that because we're listening to a government that lies to keep itself going. We're listening to a media that lies for the government because they are owned and controlled by the same people who own the government. They're never going to tell you the truth. Let's stop and think about a couple of other little things that happened. Let's think about September the 10th, 2001. Oh my goodness, there is the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Rumsfeld, on national TV, and what is he saying? Oh my gosh, there are $2.3 trillion that is lost at the Pentagon. People, how the hell do you lose $2.3 trillion? Well, that should have just absolutely shaken the entire country. There would have been a multitude of questions asked. People want to know, how do you lose $2.3 trillion? But fortuitously, the next day, a cruise missile, not a 757, people, if you believe that, you're stupider than a rock. But the next day, a cruise missile takes out what in the Pentagon? The bookkeeping department. Imagine that. And then America's at war. We've got to get those crazy bastards who did this. We've got to get them. The emotion takes over. The logic of where did $2.3 trillion go is forgotten. Has this government ever explained to you or to anyone what happened to that $2.3 trillion? Nope. But you still have to pay taxes to make sure that it's paid and the interest is paid on it, don't you? Oh, and then, you know, gosh, we're in Iraq. And we send three C-130s loaded with pallets of $100 bills. Somewhere between $9 and $12 billion. We send it to Iraq. What was that, 2004, 2005? We send that money to Iraq. And they lose it. How in the hell do you lose 3C-130 full of $100 bills, pallets upon pallets upon pallets of this money? How do you lose that? But no need to worry, because the next day there was big news about some warlord being killed. Zarqawi, who didn't exist in the beginning. Zarqawi was killed several years in Palestine before the war began. But, you know, American people don't look after that stuff. They don't care about that stuff because the emotions of the war is going on. There's flyovers at NASCAR. There's flyovers at football games. People are standing and cheering, yay, yay, yay. Sing that Star Spangled Banana again for me, please. We don't care how much money's being stolen. Let's support the troops. Well, it was the Great One, or at least he named himself that, Rush Limbaugh, who said one time, when he finally told the truth, that you can't support the troops without supporting the war. Now stop and think about that. How do we get the people to pay out utterly trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars? And that $2.3 trillion in the Pentagon, that $40 billion that's going to Ukraine, the $9 billion that went to Iraq, it all went into the hands of the people who run our government. It wasn't lost. It's not lost now. The money that Ellsworth Bunker allegedly took to Vietnam. I mean, stop and think about it. The communists had just taken over Vietnam in 75. And they're going to let Ellsworth Bunker from the United States, their mortal enemy, come into the country to pay off people who had assisted. Folks, there's a good book out there, and it's called A Bright Shining Lie. And it's about Army Lieutenant Colonel John Paul Vann. And he knew so much about this. So very, very much did he know. People, when you see something on CNN, PMS, NBC, Fox News, whatever it is you listen to, and they tell you this government's sending more money for war, that money is not going anywhere except into the pockets of the international banking cabal, their friends in Congress, and their friends in the military-industrial complex. And you, in many instances, and we have all lost friends and loved ones in this debacle we call war. War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing for the people. Nothing. But it captures your emotions. It makes you believe stuff that's not true. That is the very purpose of a psyop. And let's not forget, you know, politicians love to lie about this. Let's look at the election in 1940. The wonderful FDR, running for his third term as president, promised the American people in his campaign speeches that your sons and your husbands and your fathers will not be sent to a war in Europe. I promise you, it's not going to happen. At the same time, that duplicitous bastard was working with Operation Snow to arrange a surprise attack by the Japanese. At the exact same time. And yet, why are you still involved in the electoral process? Why do you still believe these people when they tell you this stuff? I don't understand it. Because you have been hooked in the psyop. You do not think, you feel. Oh, it's all about my emotions. Oh, we got to stand for the Star Spangled Banana. We've got to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We've got troops. We've got to support our troops. People, if the military of the United States has been fighting for all of these years, at least in my lifetime since 1940s, if they have been fighting for your and my freedom and liberty, how come it's gone? Because they weren't fighting for your freedom and liberty. They were fighting for the bottom line of the military-industrial congressional banking complex. These wonderful men in battle, the consolation that I know is that they died for each other. They died to support each other. We know that. Greater love hath no man than he who would lay down his life for his friends. We know that. But yet, the overall picture was they were not fighting for your freedom. And I can't understand how anyone with, you know, two brain cells to rub together would believe that we send our military thousands of miles away from home to defend our country, and yet we leave our border wide open. Now, I would like for one of you brainiacs to explain that to me, how that works. Because I remember my first day of basic training, not too far from here at good old Fort Benning, Georgia. I remember my first day, we arrived at like 2 o'clock in the morning on buses. One of the first things they did is they came in and we were still in civilian clothes and they picked out several of us for perimeter security. And it was drummed into our heads how important perimeter security is. You must always secure your perimeter. But we don't do it as a country. We leave the door wide open to whoever wants to come through for whatever reason. We don't care. The government doesn't. Maybe the people do. Remember that Department of Homeland Security, the very first director of the Department of Homeland Security? I believe his name was Tom Ridge. Tom Ridge messed up on TV one Sunday. I forgot who he was actually speaking with, Tim somebody, I remember. But he was speaking with him, and the question came up, are we aware of any tactical nukes or suitcase nukes that have crossed our southern border? Tom Ridge says, yes, we know of at least three that we have been tracking. We actually have their serial numbers. The next week, Tom Ridge resigned. And oh, don't let me forget, go back to the wonderful Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, who died a mysterious death at the age of 59 after he had written War is a Racket. And then not only that, he had decided that he wanted to expose these people. And so he did a little backdoor work and found out who the people were that were making all of this money. They actually wanted to hire Smedley Darlington Butler to go out and recruit people to overthrow the government of the United States and to install a fascist form of government. Well, they didn't need to do that because FDR already had a communist form of government or Marxist form of government going. But anyway, Smedley Darlington Butler tried to expose this. And he found out where the money was coming from. And he even went to Congress to try to explain it. They went into closed session. And when Smedley Darlington Butler saw that Congress was not going to do anything about this, he went to the media. Big mistake. The media then went to Congress, and Congress said, old gimlet eye, he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. None of this ever happened, blah, 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 blah. So a valiant soldier with two Congressional Medals of Honor was ridiculed before his unusual death at the age of 59. Nowhere can I find anywhere to find the cause of death for Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. He may have very well paid that price for letting the cat out of the bag. Well, folks, please understand war. It's not what you think. But just like those flags that the churches were flying of the Ukraine, the emotional psyop has captured America. I am reminded of that story of, you know, the great gray ghost when he went in to capture a Union general and went into his tent and slapped him across the backside with his saber. And the Union general looked up and said, "What? What?" And he asked, "Have you captured Mosby?" And Mosby said, "No, General, but he has captured you." Americans, you were captured with a psyop. You still support it. You still fall for it, no matter how many times they lie to you. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the U.S. Constitution says that only Congress can declare war. You go back and you look at the debates at the Constitutional Convention, several people, including Pierce Butler of South Carolina, wanted to put that power solely in the hands of the executive. He was voted down unanimously by the people saying, "No, we can't do that, because if we allow the president to make those decisions on his own, we become a monarchy and not a republic." Well, I ask you again, when was the last time that Congress declared war? 1941. Now, where in the Constitution have these people been prosecuted? Where is the power that allows them to say, "Okay, you folks have in essence created treason"? Why is that true? Why isn't someone prosecuted for that? Why wasn't someone prosecuted for the lies about Pearl Harbor? Why wasn't someone prosecuted for the lies about the Gulf of Tonkin incident? Why were people not prosecuted for 9/11 lies? I think I hear some music coming on, folks. It has been a wonderful first hour. Please stay with us. Come back the second hour. I got a little news about the Dixie Republic. And also some news about upcoming guests. So, see you on the other side.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.